Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
That you would be on this ominous Thursday, December 7th here in California, in Southern California. It's a kind of a little bit of a sad time because of all the fires that have started around the city, which if God is being particularly good this season, please, God, put these things out and put people out of harm's way.
That's right. Now we've got a great show, obviously.
We
Michael, do. It's already December. It's hard to believe that that time of year and that the year is coming to a close. But we have a great show today, don't we?
We do indeed. We have the beautiful Rebecca Spencer coming in, who's of course known for her performances of Phantom of the Opera at the Sit Down in Las Vegas for so many years.
That's
and
right.
All around the world she's done that show. And then we have the most extraordinary man, the keeper of the great American songbook, Michael Feinstein, is joining us in just a moment.
That's right. Let's give them both a big round of applause. Yes. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Michael is joining us on the phone now. Do we have you there, Michael?
Yes, indeed. Hello.
Hello, Michael Feinstein. It's Michael Sterling and Andrew David James.
Thank you so much for joining us today. What a pleasure to have you on State of the Arts.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Now, we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk a little bit about you, but I tell you, there is no shortage of material out there. Would you be so kind to hold on while we give you your formal intro and tell people more about the wonderful things you've done?
If you must.
Well, this is obviously a great thing to have here, and not only is Michael one of the finest and most renowned performers in the country, but he's a very gracious man, somebody who's always willing to talk about a lot of different things going on in the industry. Michael, would you like to start his amazing intro?
With the great show that we have today, I think we'll just get right to it.
Let's do it.
Our first guest has built a dazzling career over the last three decades, bringing the music of the Great American Songbook to the world, with recordings that have earned him five Grammy Award nominations to his Emmy-nominated PBS TV specials, his acclaimed NPR series, and concerts spanning the globe.
In addition to his appearances at iconic venues such as the White House, Buckingham Palace, the Hollywood Bowl, Carnegie Hall, Sydney Opera House, his work as an educator and archivist define him as one of the most influential musical forces of our time. In 2007, he founded the Great American Songbook Foundation, dedicated to celebrating the art form and preserving it through the educational programs, master classes, and the annual High School Songbook Academy. He also serves on the Library of Congress National Recording Preservation Board.
He earned his fifth Grammy Award nomination in 2009 for his CD, The Sinatra Project, and followed with Volume 2, The Sinatra Project, in 2011. He released his The Power of Two CD in collaboration with Glee and 30 rock star Cheyenne Jackson, mm-hmm. and Cheek to Cheek with Broadway legend Barbara Cook. For his CD, We Dreamed These Days, he co-wrote the title song with Dr. Maya Angelou.
He was named principal conductor for the Pasadena Symphony in 2012, authored the book The Gershwins and Me, a Los Angeles Times bestseller, serves as the artistic director for the Palladium Center for the Performing Arts, has served as artistic director for Carnegie Hall's Standard Time with Michael Feinstein in conjunction with the ASCAP, and he has become the director of the Jazz and Popular Song Series at New York's Jazz at Lincoln Center.
And as if that's not enough, he has designed a new piano for Steinway, released a new CD in 2013 entitled Change of the Heart, the songs of Andre Previn, and it is simply not possible to list all of his many accomplishments. We are very privileged and deeply honored to welcome to the show today the incomparable Michael Feinstein.
Michael, what a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you again for taking a few minutes to chat with us today.
You're very welcome. I'm exhausted after all that.
I tell you, I didn't have enough printer ink to print out your entire works. But I want to ask you first and foremost about something that was close to my heart when I first saw The Journey of a Steinway Piano. It was a documentary made on how a piano gets to Carnegie Hall. How did you get involved with designing that, and what was that process like for you?
I've been a Steinway artist for a number of years and went to the factory and had the the joy of one of the executives of Steinway asking me if there's any projects I had in mind, piano-wise. And having played at the White House on this amazing piano that was designed by Steinway many years ago for the White House, and having been played by Harry Truman, and an ornate thing with eagles and such, I got an idea to design a piano that would be a tribute to the First Ladies, many of whom I've known for the last 30 years. And so Steinway embraced the idea, and we created a piano that's decorated in the colors of the piano that's at the White House and in the I think it's the Gold Room. And it's been autographed by every living First Lady of the last 30 years. It was just something that appealed to me that I thought would be fun to pursue.
A remarkable project.
Indeed. And I understand you had a wonderful, and so every place that you play, Michael, it is a Steinway, every place that you play, right?
Yes. Steinway supplies a piano, and they are legendary for a reason.
Well, absolutely. And friends of mine saw you in concert at the Nikko in San Francisco very recently. I think it was this past weekend, right?
Yes. I did five shows at my club there.
Yes, your lovely club there.
It was a Christmas, mainly a Christmas program, sort of in preparation for the show I'll be doing this Friday.
And that's, of course, at the Valley Performing Arts Center, one of the most beautiful venues that we have in Southern California, in the Grand Hall. Michael, tell us a little bit about the show itself as a holiday celebration. Is it all just holiday music, or do you infiltrate some great American standards in between those kinds of songs?
There will be a generous inclusion of Christmas music, or I should say holiday music, because after all, it is a multicultural time, so it'll be a very Jewish Christmas, as I can tell you that. Especially since most of the Christmas songs were written by Jews, which is one of the things that I'll talk about in the show. But so I would say that it's there'll be a big chunk of Christmas music through the show, but also there will be some standards by Porter and Irving Berlin and Gershwin, Jerry Herman, as usual. So it'll be, I think, a very nice mixture, but certainly celebratory of this time of year, and a show that is a lot of fun. It's very interactive with the audience. So I'm certainly looking forward to it. And going back to the center there, the Valley Center
for Performing Arts,
even though I have trouble getting it out of my
mind. That's a lot. The name is almost as big as the center, isn't it? So.
Yes. It's a gorgeous, one of the most gorgeous facilities in Southern California. So.
And certainly one that has one of the finest sounds.
Absolutely.
Of any theaters, in any of our theaters. It's amazing, the sound in that building. Well,
yes,
we are so excited that you're coming back, and it's not your first time there, but that you're coming back at this particular time of year. I was astounded by your touring schedule. You have got so many dates coming up. You're going back to New York, of course, and playing at your club there and other places for, what, the next several months?
Well, as far as performances, they're scheduled several years ahead. You know,
oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
It's very interesting because I've been conducting. I've been conducting the Pasadena Pops. I do a summer season at the Arboretum in Arcadia, and so I'm conducting those four shows in LA in the summer, and then I conduct an orchestra in Palm Beach, Florida, in the winter, starting at the end of January. And then there's the shows that I do. I do a series of jazz at Lincoln Center. I'm the curator of the American Popular Song programs there, and I do a series at Carnegie Hall. And then, of course, I have the Palladium in Carmel, Indiana. I'm the artistic director of the Palladium Center for the Performing Arts there, so I do a series of shows there.
That's right.
And then there's the Great American Songbook Foundation, which created to help educate high school kids in the Great American Songbook.
And you haven't slept since 1982, is that right?
I haven't, and I'm starting to feel the effects of sleep deprivation. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Michael, do you remember when we actually kind of formally met in our different careers, unified by one person in particular, Rosemary Clooney?
Yes,
You were working with Rosemary at the Ritz-Carlton in Washington, D.C.
Yes, in 1986, I think.
My goodness.
And I was over at the Kennedy Center in the Opera House with the Festival on Ice, which was a ice skating show on a proscenium stage. First time something like that had ever played the Opera House of the Kennedy Center. And I invited you. I called for Rosemary, and she had just checked out. I think you guys had just closed the night before, and you intercepted the phone call, and I invited you there to see the show, our show, and we hung out, and that was the beginning of our friendship.
Yes, it was a very special time in my life, my career, and thanks to meeting you, the association with Scott Hamilton happened, and appearing on doing the music for an entire special of Scott's and working with other skaters has been one of the great joys of my life.
Well,
so I owe you that. Thanks to Rosemary for bringing us together.
Absolutely. And I think of her so often, of course, because my club here, Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, to which you have been, is dedicated to her and in honor of her. Because she taught me, you know, when I road managed her, she taught me all about music and the business of nightclub. And I always promised that I would, I was excited to open one when I, you know, got older. I didn't know where or when, but I made it happen at the right time. I got lucky, and I've always, I told her, I said, I'm going to dedicate this to you. So keep your music alive and those of your contemporaries. So that's what I am still doing 12 years later.
And Michael, just like Rosemary, you've brought so much positive joy and good feeling through your music. You're appearing here on December 8th, that's correct? And that's at the Valley Performing Arts Center. Now, we're going to give all that ticket information again, but just real quick, if people want to get tickets, and I can't believe there are still a few tickets left, valleyperformingartscenter.org. And that's one night only, December 8th at 8 p.m. I honestly, this is going to be such a treat. I'm certainly excited to hear how this goes, because what an amazing time to come out and bring some music to people who right now need a lot of relaxation and a lot of joy. So.
Yes, they do. And by telephone, you can get your tickets at 818-677-3000. They are very, very well priced for anyone. You would be remiss in not going to see this concert and this man who, as I said at the beginning in his intro, is the keeper of Great American Songbook. And it will be an extraordinary evening. Or you can go online to valleyperformingartscenter.org for tickets as well. Michael, we know that you're on a busy time schedule today, so we're going to let you go. But thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you at the Valley Performing Arts Center.
Oh, thank you, Michael, and thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure, and thank you for keeping good music alive and for doing everything you do for the arts.
You bet.
Thank you, and same to you. Safe travels, all right?
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Happy holidays. Thank you.
You too. Bye.
Man, what an artist. What an artist.
Lovely, lovely man.
So as we talk about the Valley Performing Arts Center, our fans can't stop cheering for Michael. I got to tell you, this is honestly, and we can go on forever and ever with the accolades, but he's not only one of the greatest performers in the country, but that's one of the greatest venues for a great performer. Valley Performing Arts Center, if you haven't been there, get out there, take a chance to go see it, because it truly is a night that you won't ever forget.
Well, let's give our audience a little taste of Michael Feinstein.
Indeed.
And a song that, as I said, with regard to my conversation about Rosemary and both of Michael's relationship with her and my relationship, this is the perfect song to play.
The sun is shining, the grass is green, the orange and palm trees sway. There's never been such a day in Beverly Hills, L.A. But it's December the 24th, and I am longing to be up north. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Oh my goodness, Michael.
Wow. Beautiful, huh?
You know, it's just not quite the same when I sing it, is it? So I sing it to my kids, and they just don't quite get the feeling that Michael can deliver.
Well, it's because
amazing.
You don't have Michael Feinstein playing for you or,
yeah, that's
or have
the
an
problem.
Orchestra in your house.
I think the vocals are certainly as much of a problem. Well, obviously, we're so grateful to Michael taking the time to join us here. But more than that, we're also very grateful to our guest who's coming up.
Yes.
But before we get to her, and I'm very excited about it, we need to take a moment and thank our sponsors, Michael. Does that sound good to
we
you?
We do, and I'm trying to find that moment in my script.
I think we're looking at
Here we go. Yes, we'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts. No doubt about that, obviously.
Absolutely. We encourage you to visit Breakdown Services for many reasons, because they are the parent company to a lot of wonderful things like Actors Access and Castabout and all these different sites for actors. And Performing Arts Live, certainly, because they are the go-to place for finding out more about all of the happenings in the Southland.
That's right, no doubt about it. Michael, should we do a quick live arts calendar, or would you like to jump straight to our guest?
You know what? I think that we should do a live arts calendar.
Let's dig in and tell the people about The Man Who Came to Dinner.
Okay.
Well, now that the holidays are in full swing, we can look forward to family, friends, and, of course, food. With that in mind, Actors Co-op brings to us The Man Who Came to Dinner. Deck the halls with the mirth and mayhem. Get in the Christmas spirit with this comedy classic about the nightmare holiday guest who never leaves, or so it seems.
Ex-convicts in the dining room, penguins in the library, and cockroaches in the kitchen are just a few fallouts from the visitor who outstayed his welcome. The LA Post-Examiner says the show is a wild ride, simply bristling with wit and brilliant humor, presented by a superb cast, rendering a truly outstanding performance.
Splash Magazine says this is a hilarious romp which revives life with 30s while revives life in the 30s while keeping the audience roaring with laughter throughout. Don't miss the show The Man Who Came to Dinner. It's a great holiday treat.
And Broadway World raves The Man Who Came to Dinner provides great, enjoyable, madcap fun. Actors Co-op has again succeeded in carrying off a classic. What a treat for the holidays. Don't miss it.
That's right. Performances run now through December 17th, Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sunday matinees at 2:30 p.m. at the Actors Co-op, David Shaw Theater on the campus of the First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood.
And for tickets or more information, ladies and gentlemen, visit actorscoop.org or call 323-462-8460.
No doubt about it.
And you know what? I did that show as an actor.
Did you?
I did. Do you know the show? Do you know the characters?
Yeah, of course the characters. I've never actually seen a full production.
I played Beverly Carlton.
Wow. Wow.
Which was,
where was this production at?
It was at the Glendale Center Theater, a theater in the Round.
Very well-known
space.
Absolutely. Yeah.
About 400 seats, suite theater.
Michael, we've reached that time. Obviously, we started the show off with a bang today, and we are going to finish it off with a bang today, too. We are now very excited to bring in our next guest. This award-winning recording artist and Broadway actress is recognized both nationally and internationally in the recording, cabaret, concert worlds, all of them combined. Her signature contemporary arts, my lips went on vacation there for a moment, Rebecca. Her signature contemporary art song, lyric-driven interpretations that fused classical and contemporary composers, resulted in her debut recording, Wide Awake and Dreaming, which was honored with the Backstage Bistro Award for Most Outstanding Recording.
With a stage career based out of New York for 3 decades, she recently starred as Madame Giry in the 25th anniversary world tour of The Phantom of the Opera, and stood by last season for Broadway legend Betty Buckley in Grey Gardens at the Amundsen Theater here at the Center Theater Group in Los Angeles. She created the role of Madame Giry in the $35 million production of Phantom of the Opera, the Las Vegas Spectacular.
As a crossover artist, she has been a guest soloist with numerous American opera companies and American symphony engagements, including Carnegie Hall's Gershwin Centennial, recorded for PBS.
Her many New York City solo concerts include the venerable Birdland Jazz Club, the Laurie Beachman Theater at the West Bank, New York City Cabaret or NYC Cabaret Convention appearances at Town Hall, and Rose Hall, Lincoln Center, Encore, Panache, La Belle Epoque, thank you, Green Street Cafe, B. Smith's, and the historic Don't Tell Mamas, and has been featured at Lyrics and Lyricists.
Her follow-up CD, Fair Warning, marked her as Las Vegas concert debut presented by the Performing Arts Society of Nevada and was named the top concert event of the month by the Las Vegas Magazine. She has been nominated for several Theatrical Critic Awards. From Florida to Arizona, her television credits include Third Watch, Law & Order, SVU. On the stage, she was an original company member of the Toronto workshop of one of my favorite productions, Ragtime.
She was an original Broadway cast member of Jekyll and Hyde and had created the role of Lisa Emma Carew in the Alley Theater world premiere, which I saw, and a role that she had the opportunity to revisit on Broadway 10 years later. She has performed principal roles in over 60 operas, national tours, regional and off-Broadway productions, ranging from Cunegonde.
Wow.
In Bernstein's Candide, to Dolly Levi in Jerry Herman's Hello, Dolly.
In 2009, she was featured on the cover of the international encyclopedic publication 400 Years of Entertainment. Is that a comprehensive thing, do you think, at all?
Yes, I'm not 400 years old.
Music and showbiz, but she has recorded for numerous recording labels, including ranging from Broadway's first cast albums to collectible compilations.
She is here today to talk a little bit about her newest Christmas CD release, Still, Still, Still. She is a remarkable talent, and we are so thrilled to speak with her today. Please welcome the incredibly gifted Rebecca Spencer.
Rebecca, my goodness, I looked at the cover of this CD and I felt like I could hear the music. What an amazing image for the cover of this CD.
Oh, thanks. You know, we putting together a Christmas album, why do you do one? There's a million, right? And so the cover artwork is always important to me. And of course, I've had the good fortune to have met Doug Haverty, who lives
here. One of our friends of the show, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
We love Doug.
And this particular picture, we wanted to have a cover that captured the wonderment, the phenomena of and the mysteries of Christmas. And with that, we could envelop some of the compositional work that we wanted through composing, so to speak. And we had a lot of variations on a theme, but it looks like an old-fashioned recording. It has a contemporary flair to it. But it is consistent with my amazing collaborator, Philip Fortenberry, pianist and music director, and And we have the art song interpretations. We took it a step further, and now it's a Christmas tone poem.
Wow. Well, I know, obviously, we have a ton of people who listen via podcast, so they're hearing this throughout the month of December. Just take a moment and type into your phone or iPad here and type in Still, Still, Still with Rebecca Spencer's name, and you will find not only great images of this, but you'll get a little sense of what this CD is about. Can you tell us a little bit about how you decided to do this project? What with the pages and pages of other things you're doing right now? I know, because whenever we have two stars like this on the show, I feel bad for printing the script out. My goodness, I think I'm destroying the environment myself with you guys' credits.
No, I'm in great company, let me tell you. Thanks for having me back. No, we, you know, it's funny. I was here a year ago.
Yeah, almost Facebook, exactly.
And Facebook put up and said, guess what happened a year ago? I was like, oh, yeah, I did a concert. And you pitched that, which was so wonderful. And that was a concert for the Sorting Room. And it was sort of they wanted some Christmas, but not so much. So I did a mixture. But we boldly put in several of the arrangements that we were going to include on this Christmas recording. We were in the process of recording at Capitol Records and at East West Studios.
Yeah.
We didn't have a cello, we didn't have a soprano saxophone instrumentation yet. But anyway, it was a lot of fun to do it raw. You know? And they say, you know, if you have a good script, you do something raw without all the, you know, the fireworks, then maybe you've got something to say.
There's a storyboard.
And so then we released the recording in September of this year. And but what happened was, in February, going back to February 2016, I woke up out of a dream as if I had a conversation with my father. And my mother and father fly beyond the rainbow now. And it was as if I was having a cup of coffee in Levittown, Pennsylvania, in my kitchen on Tweed Road.
Wow.
And my father said, I think it's time you do that Christmas recording that you always promised Mom and I that you would do. And I woke up and I told my husband, I said, I think I have to call Philip up, Woodbury, because I think I have an idea. And my father asked me. So I called Phil and thank
No chance
goodness.
It was Philip with a megaphone outside your window, right? I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Sometimes Philip won't pick up the phone. He's like, oh, no, here she comes again. But 20-year collaboration, Philip and I celebrate, you know, my
goodness.
Pianist and arranger. But anyway, so then we went about, ultimately, the material that we chose, other than stylistically what we ended up creating, was you ever have on your iPod or your whole listening collection that you put together every year, and there's amazing artists, known, not known, choral, you know, orchestral. And I said, what are the pieces that make you stand still?
Right.
And so all of a sudden, I wrote this list down. And I said, well, there's a lot of songs here, but we can storyboard them. So I did. I did an entire collection of repertoire that I thought would be reflective. Hmm. So you can wrap presents to this. You can, you know, have a hot toddy before you go to bed Christmas Eve.
I'm up for that.
You can have a Christmas dinner. You know, I had some friends recently said, we were playing Scrabble and drinking wine. I said, perfect. You know, but I had the good grace of all these people that came to the table for this piece that we created. Michael Stern is an amazing guy who's an engineer and mixing engineer who is based in L.A.
Wow.
And I was introduced to him. Extraordinary. He's my producer, too, because the two of us were in the studio mixing it, exploring how all the overtones that are possible. He actually set six microphones up just on Philip alone, on the pianist.
Wow.
And then, of course, we rehearsed it. We recorded East West Studios, and it was recorded on the same console that Michael Jackson recorded Thriller on. So there are ghosts in that room. And then we finished up where, you know, Frank Sinatra and Rosemary Clooney and the likes of those amazing spirits performed at Capitol Records.
Wow.
And so I think I was visited a couple times during, you know, this electrical currents here. But you know,
uninspired project all the way around,
yeah,
it sounds like.
Yeah, it was really, it's, and so, you know, Philip and I had always wanted to do something that was through composed. We kind of built our concerts in that same manner, and a lot of folks that attended the Sorting Room all were expressed how much they appreciated that, and it was cohesive. And so in creating this tone poem, putting 25 plus melodies together, it looks like, if you look on the back of the recording, it looks like it's a mashup. It's a whole big medley.
Sure.
But it's not. Every track is a story. And I even went even that old-fashioned and wrote an 8-page little booklet that talks about the storyboard as to how we approached each song, why we chose certain selections. And some of them are not even your most, maybe the ones you would seek or think to put on a
that
Christmas
immediately
recording.
Come to mind, yeah.
But like one of the ones that comes to mind is the Shore on the Shiny Night is a Samuel Barber beautiful art song that he used to sing back in college in, you know, recitals. But I wanted to use it as a pastoral setting of just piano and orchestral.
Oh.
And then it just goes right into just a few verses or a few lines from Silent Night.
Right.
And that's just with cello. And then we have a couple with soprano saxophone and cello, which is sprinkled in throughout.
Well, we have something with us today that we'd love to play because I know it's one of your favorites on the CD, and it's Peace for Christmas Time this year.
Yes.
Yes?
Oh, yeah. I just debuted it's the premiere recording, so we got to put that on the recording. Keith Thompson is the composer, and we recorded the instrumentals in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And then I went back to the Las Vegas Composer Showcase at the Smith Center, which Keith Thompson hosts, and Philip Fortenberry played, Moonlight Tran played the cello, Eric Tewalt played the soprano saxophone, and we got to perform it in front of a live audience, and it was so beautiful to be able to be live. It's the first time we performed the song live together.
This is about a 6-minute plus track, right?
I don't know. I think I'm not quite sure how long that is. Actually.
I think people would be glad to hear the whole thing, but we should play at least a snippet of it.
Of course, absolutely.
Beautiful message. Beautiful
so this
message.
Is, and obviously such an important time for this message, Peace for Christmas.
We don't need more sleigh bells, no more men made of snow. We don't need more halls decked out with holly or more mistletoe. We don't need more presents neath an evergreen tree. What we really do need this Christmas time is for there to be peace on the planet, this one world that we share. To give understanding, to reach out, to show that we care. To love one another, though we may not agree. Let peace begin this Christmas time in me. Remember the angels on that as they filled up the sky with songs of praise and a heavenly light, proclaiming the miracle, the birth of a king, the Prince of Peace, the promise of goodwill he would bring. This song is so simple, the message is clear. Let there be peace on earth this Christmas time, this
goodness.
So
wow. What
it's
an
beautiful.
Amazing piece of music. And not only that,
indeed.
But Michael, in doing this show with you for as long as we have here, coming up on almost 2 years together.
Wow.
That's right. I have gained such an appreciation for not only the talent that people bring, but the other art forms that they incorporate into their art form. We were just talking briefly in the break about the Philip, of course, and the amazing piano player and music director you work with. But not only that, the artistry you put into the album cover as well as to the booklet that you wrote, including images of the the architecture of your grandfather as well as of your mother's painting. And this truly is a beautiful gift for Christmas. Where can people find this CD?
Everywhere.
I'll be standing on the corner of Colfax. Drive down as soon as you can.
It's definitely available on Amazon. If you get the hard copy, you'll get the 8-page
get the hard
booklet.
Copy, please.
And
it's
the,
so
and
beautiful.
The artwork, I'm very pleased. Doug Haverty is really, he's just an artist unto himself as a graphic artist.
Yes,
and how he
is.
Laid it out.
I just got through working with him, too. I mean, we work together
course,
as well.
Of course, yes, but. yeah. Just lovely. But we, and he's great. But it's just, yeah, we that'll give you something. You know, so if you buy from Amazon, you'll get a real gift package. If you get, you can buy it on Apple, you can download it, you know. But the LML Music Label, this is the third recording that Lee Lesak, God bless him, has welcomed me continually back to the LML Music, to be distributed on the LML Music Label. And he welcomed this project, and he's got me featured on the LML Music website. So you can also purchase things on LML Music because Amazon.
So
LMLmusic.com. I know, say that fast twice.
There you go.
It's funny, though. Amazon. Even my mother-in-law called up. She said, they said they're out of stock on Amazon. I said, oh, my gosh. So I called Lee Lesak up, and he said, no, it's fine. Amazon sometimes does that. Everything's fine. Everyone who orders, if it says on back order, you will get it in time for Christmas. It's just how other people
don't
do
you get it like the next day?
Very exactly, often. Yeah. But yeah. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, how can it be sold out? Okay, good.
The name of the album is Still, and you're going to find tracks on here that you know quite well. You know, my lips went on vacation
it
again.
It came upon a
midnight clear. But you're also going to get some amazing ones. Of course, I Wander as I Wander, which is a great one. And then you're Still, which of course is the name of the album as well. But Peace for Christmas Time this year, which is the one we just played.
Heard.
And on Golden Pond, so many of these tracks that are lesser known tracks but that are so important to the Christmas spirit. This is truly a great CD, and not only that, but the artistry of it makes a great gift. So I'm hoping people grab this up and put it in stockings this Christmas because it's perfect for that.
And Breath of Heaven, don't forget.
Breath of Heaven, another great one, yeah. In fact, there's some stories about some of these songs. Can you tell me a little bit about some of the things that you were telling us before we got started today?
Well, we did, you know, when we picked Still, it's a hymn. I've known it only as a hymn. And I said, well, here's a hymn. Let's do that. So we used the first two verses. So I was at the rehearsal with Phil, and I always come with a lead sheet. And he goes, I was thinking about this. And we were in my house. He flew from Las Vegas to work with me at my house here in L.A. And all of a sudden, he started playing Beethoven's Pathétique. And then he nods to me, and that's when I know it's time for me to sing Still, to float upon the Beethoven Pathétique.
Right.
And so then we saved the third verse to actually proceed the lullaby, Billy Joel's lullaby. Some people know it as Good Night, My Angel. And it was the perfect introduction that we said it separately. You know, it's farther apart from Still. But it was the perfect introduction, and it reminds me of a Norman Rockwell painting of when my brothers were peeking over my parents' shoulders when I was about 5 years old. We had gone to the Christmas Eve service. I was all excited. Santa Claus had just driven by in the fire engine, which they did in Levittown, Pennsylvania. But then, for whatever reason, I was a five-year-old going, but what happens after Christmas? What happens in the new year? What can I do? And my parents were so loving, and they just sat and let me, you know, talk until I could talk myself to sleep. But that moment, that song, his words, Billy Joel's words, which he originally wrote it for his daughter, that moment, that song works so beautifully for, that's the storyboard in my mind.
Yeah.
And putting the third verse of Still in front of that, it was Philip's idea. That was brilliant. And so therefore, Still became the title song.
Amazing.
Because we reflect it one more time in the recording as well.
That is a lovely, lovely story.
No doubt about it.
You know what? It's almost that time, isn't it?
And now, embarrassing moments.
Yes.
She's
not
laughing.
Letting you get away.
She's mocking the voice of God. She's laughing at the voice. She's not afraid of embarrassing moments. She says, I have none. Rebecca, do you have a moment? And of course, this is a bit that we do for young performers who may think that something goes wrong. You immediately quit the industry and go hide under a couch somewhere because you're so embarrassed. I know all of us in our live performing careers have had something happen where we thought, that's it, I can't handle it. But you get through it and the show must go on. Do you have anything in your life or career that happened?
Yeah, I do. I'll try to say it as fast as I can. When I was in Germany, Germany. I was playing Carlotta in the Phantom of the Opera, sung in German. And my husband was coming over to finally see the performance. We were in, performing for 3 months. And so he came over, he was going to see the performance, and we were going to go to Paris the next day on my vacation. So he came over, I was all excited, we were going to take the midnight train to Paris. I had to get through the final Sunday performance and of Phantom, and I was one of the few Americans in that company, and everybody was always waging on, when's the American going to go up? You know, and we're talking in German now. You know, people go up in English all the time, you know, and it's always hysterical when people do, and frightening as heck. But anyway, so I in it was the staging is so specific. In the opening scene, Carlotta gets introduced to the managers. Then they introduce the whole concept that there's a ghost or there's a phantom, and she gets challenged by the managers, and she pulls a diva fit. Well, there's three things that happen. She responds. She goes, "There's ghosts," and she goes, "So I was gone for this. These things do happen? Are you kidding me?" And so she gets up, and the ensemble has a shift. And then I would walk 2 steps, say another line. The ensemble has another shift, and then the third time I pontificate, and then I exit in a flourish, and there's exit applause, right? So what happened was, is like I stood up, and I walked 2 steps, but I skipped the line.
Oh, no.
So I skipped the middle line. It was fine. It was just, you know, but the staging, you heard pitter-pitter-pat, pitter.
Everything changes.
I got there. I did the flourish. I think at that point I realized that I had gone up. And then I did a flourish, and I walked off. And, of course, it was big exit applause because everybody was overly energized with the moment that was happening. And one of the guys, Wolfgang Witt, he was a senior performer at the time. He's from Austria, and I was a little afraid of him. He came over to me, and he goes, "Rebecca," I said, I know, I'm sorry. He goes, "No, you did the Reader's Digest version. Das ist besser." And I was like, oh,
Das ist
goodness.
Better. And the show did go on. Amazing.
I did, it did, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the name of the album is Still, Still, Still. The artist is Rebecca Spencer. You've heard her here today. Obviously a great album. You can go visit Amazon to get that, or just Google her name and the album title, and that should pop up very quickly.
Then go to CD Baby and all of the outlets.
As my husband said, it's available everywhere.
Everywhere. iTunes, everywhere. So Still, Still, Still. Also, of course, we told you a little bit about The Man Who Came to Dinner at the Actors Co-op. That's another great project that's going on here in the Southland. We'd encourage you to call either the Actors Co-op at 323-462-8460 or just visit actorsco-op.org.
And, of course, the incomparable Michael Feinstein, who was with us at the top of the show today, in a holiday celebration at the Valley Performing Arts Center. And that is coming up on December 8th.
That's
and
right.
Prices for this concert are astoundingly affordable, $38.
To see Michael Feinstein for $38.
Well, it's a 1,700 seat theater.
It's amazing.
You know, it's the one of the largest theaters south of San Francisco.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, and it's also interesting, too, because that space is perfect for him. Easiest way to get tickets there is to visit valleyperformingartscenter.org, or, of course, you can call.
Yes, 818-677-3000.
That's right. This is a rare chance. And again, that's coming up on December 8th. Grab a date. Take somebody out to see that show. You're going to start your holiday season off right.
Love it.
Michael, I know you had a lot to do this week. Obviously, you were on TV.
Oh, I was.
You left the world of radio and went and showed off your beautiful mug
you
out there,
good
didn't
on
you?
TV, yeah. too.
I look good on radio, really? So it all works out. But.
Well, I spent the day yesterday with the Lithgow family production of Beauty and the Beast, The Christmas Rose, which is going to open on the 13th of December at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. It's where they do the Emmys and all of that. And it is starring James Snyder from Broadway as the Beast. Do you know James?
Yeah.
Great.
And he was in If Then most recently with Miss Menzel on Broadway. And we had a great time. He's been on the show before. He's such a lovely guy. And Kelly Berglund, who is a major Disney star from her co-starring role in the XD series Lab Rats.
Wow.
Which ran for 5 years on the Disney Channel, and it still runs in rotation in reruns. And this was her very, very first stage show. So
wow.
She is singing. She is a dancer who sings.
Wow.
And Michael Orland from American Idol, the associate musical director, is their musical director.
Fantastic.
And the lovely Becky Lithgow was producing and with us all day. That's okay. It's okay.
You got Rebecca all choked up.
and so many other great people in the show that wonderful actors that you will recognize. And it is a panto. That is that's what makes it different. It embraces the audience. It's very immersive. And it's so wonderful for children to be introduced to theater in this manner because Amazing. They can actually feel like they are part of the production.
Yeah.
So it opens on the 13th, and I was there on behalf of Broadway World TV doing interviews with everyone and having a great day. And I'll be back for the red carpet, you know, celebrity stuff on next week. So
be sure to check that out, too. Of course, Christmas Carol at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza Sheer Forum. That opens tomorrow.
And who is one of the stars of that?
Ed Hall.
Ed Hall and?
Alan Hunt.
And?
I can go down the whole cast before I get to me, my friend. So I wouldn't consider myself a star of it because this is such an ensemble cast.
Oh, man, I love this group. But you are Bob Cratchit.
It is an honor to do the show with these people. And it's such a fun group. This is obviously TORC, Thousand Oaks Repertory Corporation. They do great, great work and lots of cool stuff coming up for them, too. So get out and take a chance to go out and see some of this amazing theater going on around the Southland. Should we leave these people with a little bit of treat as we say goodbye today?
I think so.
Maybe a little more Michael Feinstein.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good treat. And Michael, where will I see you next week?
On the radio.
The sun is shining, the grass is green, the orange and palm trees sway. There's never been such a day in Beverly Hills, L.A. But it's December the 24th, and I am longing to be up north. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white. Just like the ones I used to know, the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.